All right, Logan, you ready to roll? We'll get this thing going.
Okay.
In 3, 2, 1.
Hi, my name's Peter Savick. I work with a band called The Mix out of Germany. We're a band that contain people with and without handicaps. We just did a tour last year, and we worked pretty close with Comic Pop Library. They really helped us, did a lot of advertising for us in before we started our tour, and we've just did a great interview together, and it was fantastic. Thank you. Listen to Comic Pop Library. Great stuff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop License to Read, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Luis, and Logan.
And in tonight's episode, we are going to be looking at Gossamer Hall, and Logan's going to be reading the back to us for us. So, Logan, take it away.
Juan Fuentes has a special gift. He can make objects appear out of nowhere, true pieces of matter created only with the fragments of his imagination. And on a stormy night during a history class at Brookhaven College, Juan makes the dead come alive. Ruthless 19th century murderers Mac Mad Maron and his three henchmen rise from their unmarked graves, bloodthirsty, ripe for vengeance, and the night becomes one of survival for the students of Gossamer Hall. Lars, a criminal on the run, Reagan, a woman recovering from a suspicious death of her daughter, Lily, a beautiful girl with a dark secret, Josh and Caleb, two jocks on the rebound from after a brush with drugs, and Mark, a savvy whizkid. As the night deepens into a hole of death, as the thunder and lightning rage war in the sky, it becomes clear there is only eight. To stop the undead evil, and the secret lies within the dark rooms of Gossamer Hall. I think it's missing a few words.
Oh, well, this was put out by Medallion Press, Inc. in 2007, and Logan, who's the author on that one?
Erin Semiloglu.
And this is one where it's a horror book, of course, a lot of death.
Mm-hmm, yeah, a lot of zombies.
There's a few living at the end.
True, there's a few. They give the characters to you, but the lead character is mainly Juan, I believe, is the true lead, plus the doctor character, to a degree.
He's the main character, but he's not the focus character. I'd say the main character is more Lars.
Is that the one that... Okay.
The Descendant.
The Descendant? Okay, that's what I was thinking.
The one does get the epic ending.
Okay.
Well, not speak further.
The story centers around Dr. Killian, who's a history professor,
mm-hmm.
and his claim to fame is a book that he wrote about this Mad Moron character back in Old West times. Huh. He basically went through this town and robbed a bank, killed I don't know how many people, about
33.
Was it 33 people?
If I remember correctly, yeah.
So that's where the massacre came in, and the land's being cursed because of all this. And so he's become an expert on this person, so much so that that's all he does.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the only college that would hire him, because he gets a big head and then pretty much doesn't do anything after his published work, only gets hired at this Brookhaven
yep.
College.
A Christian college in Texas.
Yeah, Christian college. In a horror book. Huh, go figure.
At least some of them are very good Christians.
That's what makes it more scary.
Yeah.
True. And the student that he centers on is Juan Fuentes.
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 Okay.
Fuentes.
And for some reason, he's a Mayan descendant or Incan descendant or Anasazi or, I mean, he's some type of ancient culture.
It starts with M, and he's a descendant of a Native American tribe, Manhu.
Okay.
Is that what gives him the powers to raise up the dead?
Well, and, well actually, that's only the
part of
one
it.
And or four, five times.
He basically can create things with his mind.
Yeah.
Out of thin air.
Huh.
So like if he wanted to create a pencil, he'd just concentrate on it.
He's like,
and it would appear.
Of course.
And it would tire him out though.
He can only do around three a day and he doesn't have real good control. And the destination when it comes into being is a bit iffy. So we can generally feel
pencil's
him out.
Not stuck up somewhere now. Yes, hey. But this, the professor's seen him do this in class, so the professor gets this great idea of to recreate the night of the bank robbery massacre.
An attempt to get the map.
Yep,
a map
to the
treasure
gold that he stole from the bank. So he makes it as real as possible. Makes them be characters, and coincidentally, Lars is a descendant of Mad Moron.
Okay.
So,
he doesn't actually know that. Only Lars knows that of all of them.
True. That is true. So he sets up the night, and then, of course, a storm rolls in like it does in every horror book or movie. Yeah. There, it's all taking place primarily in this
Gossamer Hall
on the college campus. And it this is kind of an old building set back in the back that people kind of like, that's kind of a sketchy building.
Yeah. It was apparently supposed to originally be the centerpiece of the college, but a couple of deaths and nobody wants to stick around there.
So
no clue why.
So do they use it as an actual hall for classes?
It's like their history department is set there. And this is a night class. So it's at night. So you got the nighttime and the storm rolling in. With him creating things, it's not just creating the map, but he creates the people too, kind of like a zombie-ish type, ghost type. I don't know quite what you would call it, because it's not true zombie. It's not a true ghost, because he created it.
Does he control them?
No.
So I know you're saying he creates them from like, I guess, from his mind out of thin air. But is it like, is it actually them, or is it just because whatever's in his mind,
this
and then it
has
creates
a good chance of being them? Because from his viewpoints throughout the story, it seems like it's in a spirit plane type place.
Yep.
So while all these ghouls or whatever
close enough
are running around and everything, is he still conscious? Is he still
doing
his own thing, or is he like
off in spirit land?
So comatose.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. And he's kind of used so much of his power, he kind of short circuits basically and goes unconscious, like
so
you said, comatose.
So is he even in this story?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a spirit realm, and he's actually in...
Is he the one doing all the work?
Well, kind of, but not really. But kind of.
His job is to try to get them to rest so they don't kill anybody else in the real world.
So he's doing all the work?
Well, kind of, sort of, but in the
puppeteer.
In the real world, the Gossamer Hall is basically being torn to shunders, like an earthquake has happened.
And
the
building,
elephant
moss is overriding the building.
Yep, and the building has kind of partially collapsed.
Yeah,
with lightning strikes and stuff like that.
Earthquakes.
And these bandit outlaw ghosts, zombies, are killing people.
That they're the students. Somewhat linked to.
That's funny.
That's,
And technically, it's not his job to placate them. It's just what he wants to do.
True.
If he did his more accurate job, no survivors other than him.
True.
So, like now he said he can conjure up a pencil. Will that pencil eventually disappear?
Not as far as it mentioned.
It's theirs.
So he conjures up these people.
Yeah.
He has to bring them back into the spirit realm.
All right.
That's his part of the story. And
that's what he does.
Not everybody survives. No. Of course, it's a horror book. But who survives and who dies
is
a little surprising.
So who do we have? What's our character list?
There's Juan, the creator type. There's Hastings, the professor. It was Hastings, right?
We're going to the store. Let's go to Hastings.
I think it's Hastings.
I try to go over there every day.
There's Lars, the criminal ex-druggy and descendant.
Started to make a breakfast club.
This guy was like, he was from Mexico.
No, he was from America. Then he went to Mexico. Then he went back to America under a different name.
He killed a couple of guys, and he's under an alias and everything.
But he's in college?
Yeah, he's taking some night classes.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. He changed his name, remember?
Yeah, he's wanting to better himself.
I'm trying to fly under the radar. I'm
going
to college.
You're never going to suspect this if I'm at school.
That's right.
Though he is going to a class which pretty much focuses on what he definitely knows.
Yep.
Family history.
That's why I said coincidence was he was related to Mad Maron. It's like his great-great-great-great-grandpa or something like that.
Is that one of the ghosties?
Yeah, that's the lead. Yeah, that's the main outlaw.
Okay.
Ghosty zombie. Zombie ghost. I don't know what you would call it.
I don't know either.
There's Reagan, a woman who was in a somewhat abusive relationship. Her kid died mysteriously sometime in that. And she's been trying to get through that just fine, but not anymore in the relationship, I'm pretty sure.
Right. There's two jocks, which are kind of past drug steroids.
Josh, actually, Caleb is not on steroids. He did start the steroid scare, though.
True.
Because his dog is bloody awesome.
Okay. His nerd friend, I can't remember his name.
Mark.
Mark is Juan's nerd friend.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's kind of like a cheerleader girl, too, in there.
Lily? Like Breakfast Club.
Well, that's just because you watched that recently.
Yeah,
like a month ago. Well,
they haven't said anything about a pothead or anything like that.
That's true.
Possibly Josh, but not sure. I can't remember.
Is there an outcast in this story?
Lars, well, technically.
Lars, kinda, sorta. Since Reagan's
he's the criminal.
But nice one.
What about Lily, pretty girl?
Lily.
That's the cheerleader.
That's the cheerleader.
I can see a lot of breakfast
club Caleb stuff. Also has a bit of the outcast for causing the steroid scare.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it, besides the professor.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot
of... There is also the president of the one that gets involved in there.
Yeah, but she's not that important, really.
That's a pretty small class for college.
She gets fairly involved.
No, she goes to college and basically... gets stuck in the mud. Technically.
If I remember correctly, she does actually encounter one of the zombie things.
I think she goes into it or something. But,
not a lot to her. I get a sense of like 13 ghosts from this book.
It's basically... I think there's primarily three. The main outlaw and then two of his gunmen. Three of his gunmen, okay. And they're kind of...
also the
And
mistress.
They're not fully...
Incorporated,
yeah, because they're kind of like, they have, to me, that I pictured in my mind, see if Logan did the same, is because their kind of skin's kind of coming off of them, because He doesn't know exactly what they look like, so it's them.
He's got to piece them together.
Yeah.
And if they manage to kill whoever they're linked to, they can be better incorporated, but that also means they can be sent back.
There's only four ghosties?
Primarily. Well, I think they're right.
Four plus a few that are in the spirit realm.
Oh, right.
Pleasure.
Bless you, April!
There is a case of possession clone impregnation that somehow manages to affect the original instead of the clone.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alrighty then.
Ghost clone. Ghost zombie clone. There, we're going to get all three genres here.
Not zombie that time.
Oh, okay. Just
ghost possession type-ish clone. In the spirit realm.
Now I'm thinking of...
I can't remember that, to be honest. It's been a few months.
Yeah.
So every ghostie is connected to a student?
Well, all the ones from the Old West are, pretty much, but not the Monhus.
Mm-hmm. Only one that's connected is Lars. That's only relative.
No, they are all connected, but only one that's connected biologically is Lars.
Okay.
Their spirit connection have to kill the kid they're connected to. Kill the kid! To affirm their grip on reality.
Yeah, I got you. So what happens to the kids that died and their ghosties confirmed?
They're dead.
They can become ghosts?
They don't become ghosts, that ghost goes on to the next person.
So now ghosty's living, now we have to just go kill him normally.
One's the only one that can take care of him. He has to take care of him in the spirit realm.
If I remember correctly, the ones that have affirmed their reality might be able to get killed. I haven't read it that recently either. So what in the world
does the normal realm just kind of run around like chickens with their heads cut off?
Basically.
But they do
very well for most of it.
Yeah, they don't do too bad. But some of them die though. Yeah,
very good spots in there for them.
So it's not a quite clear cut slasher, but it is basically kind of like that. Yeah,
that'd be a kind of cool movie.
And it's contained in one building, so it'd be an easy, quick movie to do if somebody wanted to do it.
If you make it, have some trouble with are the spirit realm scenes, and
you speak up.
The only one they might have some trouble with on the sets are some spirit realm scenes, and
there's no CGI
not
now.
Too much, so.
Definitely,
that's easy breeze.
And then if they wanted
to,
they could make the whole thing just in green screen.
True. And the thing that got me on this, it was kind of odd having the Western concept. You know, the Western outlaw.
Yeah.
That was in Texas.
Yes. So that one was kind of an unusual event.
Outlaws, you know, anyway. I've never thought were like the nicest people, but I've never found them particularly scary. They're just a little rough around the edges.
Well, there might be some like that, not the best situation to get into.
I don't know. Something about old Western outlaws just doesn't.
You got that sensitized TV version of the John Wayne or whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Of them might have been like that, but common outlaw, no.
To me, something scary is like either like, you know, just satanic demons.
Well, some demons, yeah.
You know, actual.
This is basically
one of them. Or the Saw or in 13 Ghosts, the ghosts in that. Like,
right.
More out there.
Given the thing, kind of like that.
The cover of the book kind of has a half face on there, and it's kind of kind of gaunt, kind of skeletal looking with a gun bullet hole.
But then you put a poncho and cowboy hat on it.
No.
All
shooters.
Seriousness goes to the crapper.
How does he have a poncho?
That's just her concept of a Western.
Apparently.
But it wasn't that
stereotypes.
Bad.
Stereotypes, hello.
It wasn't that bad.
That's a
Did you
Mexican
like it, Logan? No, ponchos throughout the Western genre.
Huh.
Give him some pink boots like Marty McFly.
And I like it. I'm the one that recommended it.
We are in Texas. Old school Texas, where the ghosties are from. There's going to be a couple Spanish people around.
Yep.
A lot, actually.
A lot. I liked it. It was a different slant because it had the Western slant to it, so that was interesting for me. It's a quick read for me. I didn't have any problem with any, you know, slow scenes. I mean, it was a slower book, but it was enough. Yeah. It kept going. It's got to keep your interest.
Did it get your blood pressure up?
There's only been a few books that does that.
Darn it. It's hard to...
I can count them on one hand where it's like, ooh, what's going to happen?
It's hard to write a scary book.
Yeah, it always general. Is.
True.
Unless they put hyphen, scary music starts.
I like this somewhat for the general high competency level of the living.
Yeah.
True.
Because in general, they did very good.
Smart characters.
When they met the zombie ghosts, they didn't just cower in fear. They actually fought back.
And knocked some of them out for a couple of minutes.
So that was a little bit different, too. It wasn't help me, / I'm dead.
Yep. So one of them was like that, but
This one will be one that if you can find it on the cheap bin, that's probably where you're going to find it at in the stores at this point in time because it's from 2007. If your library happens to have it, you can check it out there. Ask it through interlibrary loan where they can borrow it from another library. I would recommend it. It's going to interest your... Like I said, it's kind of hard. It's your zombie ghost story.
My head, I just put a sixth grade mark on it.
Sixth grade
and up. Because that's something I would be reading in sixth grade.
If I remember correctly, the more recent ones are Fade to Black, so...
It's an adult book, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There's mentions of rape and mentions of the lead up to sex, but that's it.
Not to a great degree.
You could call it that.
You could have a higher middle schooler probably read it if they were mature enough and wouldn't have a problem. Sixth grade, probably not. Yeah, eighth probably grade, not. And up.
But that's it'd be for iffy. Something, that's where the line went.
It's probably really geared for your 10th and up.
Yeah.
All right. 10th grader and up should be able to handle it fine, but it is an adult horror book.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it for a different change of pace. It's not something I would normally just grab off the shelf and read, though. Logan recommended it to me, so okay, I'll try it. And it turned out to be a good, decent book. Yeah. So
I'll read it. I'll take it to school.
Sure.
All right, I think that about do it for this go around. We hope everybody had fun.
I kept thinking WON, like Asian.
No, Wong. Mexican.
Wong. Like Juan.
No, he's Mexican, not Asian.
Yeah, I kept on hearing. I heard Juan, but that's just.
But now it's Juan. Okay.
Yeah, he's Mexican, not Asian.
And with that, we're going to leave out. We hope you're having fun out there. We're having fun here. We'll see you the next go around.
Bye. I did say Native American.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.